Leo Frank Georgia Supreme Court Appeals Records, 1913, 1914, page 1643, visible translated text is as follows, at 532 Barnett Street. This was sometime before 12 o'clock. I could not get in the house and took streetcar to my own home. When I got home, I saw Jim Wren and Lynn in an automobile in front of my house. I whistled and they came up to where I was. I told them I could not get in my mother-in-law's house. Then they put me in the automobile and after driving around town a little bit and giving me supper, etc. They then took me to Austell, Georgia. All the sleeping I did that night was done in the automobile. The automobile was stopped on the side of the road and all of us went to sleep. The next morning we spent in Austell. Wren and I stayed in Austell and Lynn came back. Lynn is the man who drives the automobile for C.W. Burke, and Jim Wren is working on the case for C.W. Burke. Wren bore all expenses. Last night, May 1st, Lynn came to Austell and brought me back to Atlanta to the Capital City Chair Company on Marietta Saint. That was around 9 o'clock. There were a number of people gathered there, all of whom I took to be Jews, about 8 or 10 in all. They asked me all about my connection with the case. I told them all about it, and told them that Burke had promised to keep me out of jail if I would sign the affidavit which I had signed for Burke, and to get me out of any trouble of any kind in which I got. The other day, when Mr. H.A. Garner came out to ask me to come to Mr. Dorsey's office, I told him I would if I could, but I did not come. Afterwards, when Mr. Garner came to serve me with a subpoena, I saw him and dodged. H. Garner, sworn for the state. I went to the Southern Railroad yards at the lower end of Decatur Street today, about 1 o'clock, to look for J.E. Duffy in order to subpoena him to go before an official court stenographer to make a statement for the hearing of an extraordinary motion for new trial in the Leo M. Frank case, or to get him to sign an affidavit which I had written out. The first time I saw him at this time was when he came out of a little shanty in the railroad yards and started walking fast toward some boxcars. As soon as I saw him, I started running after him, but before I could get over to the shanty, he was out of sight, there being many boxcars standing on the tracks all around there which prevented my finding him or seeing which way he went. As soon as I got over to the shanty, though, I saw Mr. J. Eubanks, who told me that he had 129.